Today on Compassion Radio.
After a lot of thinking, they decided to stay. I know it was a hard decision for them because they were also thinking about me and what my future would look like. But they knew that if they decide to leave, that would just be a really bad example for the Turkish fellowship. They wanted to be a good example showing that, yes, following Jesus might end up in death, but that's such a privilege and that shouldn't cause you to escape and choose the easier life.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Deborah Hayda is a young Christian woman of Turkish and German descent who has experienced persecution for her faith in a way that most of us never will. Today, Bram talks with Deborah about what it means to never take the privilege of Christianity for granted. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's the final part of that conversation.
We're back again with Deborah Hayda, and you have a German last name and a Turkish family, and you are a daughter of missionaries, and you've lived in both Germany and in Turkey and in America, and you went through some of the worst things that a family can go through. Not just the loss of somebody you love, but a loss of someone because of their faith, that you are literally in the family of martyrs. And we talked about that a little bit yesterday. You lost your uncle and some other close family members and friends because of their faith standing up at a time when the political crisis in Turkey was blossoming and the government was not controlling it. And the Salafists, the more militant part of Sunni Islam, was rising up and saying, no one's going to punish us for this because we're doing the right thing for our God. And they were picking on the Christians. And there you were as a 9-year-old girl having to become a big sister to a young cousins that were a little bit younger than you. So let's pick up the story there and move forward. What did you do then when they came to live with you? What was it like to be in community with people who had lost their dad because of their faith?
It was definitely a really hard time for us as a family. And right after that happened, the five murderers openly stated that they had also wanted to kill my father if they weren't caught. So that put my father into danger as well. And then the Turkish government had to provide a bodyguard for them because the pressure Germany was applying to the Turkish government. So we were living with a bodyguard. My cousins were there. My aunt was there. And it was just a lot of stress, a lot of crying, a lot of questioning why God let this happen.
I imagine so.
What we were going to do at this point, if we were going to keep staying in Turkey or if we wanted to go back to Germany.
Were you able to stay in school during this time?
I stayed in school and my cousins went to the same school as I did. So now it wasn't only me, but there were three Christians at the public school.
And you had to watch out for them. And you had already, because you told us this in last program, you were already being ostracized, being removed from your playgroups, and other parents weren't allowing their children to play with you anymore. So you experienced a lot of that drawing back and that loneliness that goes with being the odd kid out.
For me, it was way easier because I had a German name. So for them, it was like, of course, she is German. She's going to be Christian because of her dad. But then my cousins had fully Turkish names. And the little children, but especially their parents, could not understand the fact of how they would be Christians. So,
and it brings the big question of what does it mean to be a Christian? Is it truly something that's cultural or is this a choice? And in your culture, you were raised in a family that loved Jesus. So you were expected to be Christian, but so were your cousins. When did it occur to you, Deborah, that this faith was something you had to own and that to make a choice to follow Jesus may be dangerous for you too?
After this happened in 2007, it was really hard for me personally to understand why God let this happen. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of small fights with God, and I just couldn't understand how he could take the dad of my cousins away. But during that time, especially my cousins really helped me just seeing their faith, especially my older cousin who was 6 years old at the time. He just the fact how he approached it and like talking to him, how he still loved God so much and he knew that his dad is with God and that he's at a better place. So seeing him being so faithful at that time kind of embarrassed me because it wasn't even my dad who died, but I was still questioning God and I was really mad at him. But I think through that time, I was able to make a decision to be a Christian this time, knowing what it could end up meaning, what the consequences can be, and just being more aware of my decision, unlike in the previous years when it was just a really obvious thing I had to do because of my parents and of the family I grew up in. This time it was a way more personal decision to follow Jesus.
And it brings to very personal reality here when Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, it means picking up your cross and denying yourself, following me daily. It's hard to wrap your mind around as an adult, but even as a child or one coming of age, you having to face the reality that Jesus, to love him, it may cost your life physically. But it was already costing you your heart and everything about you because it's a sacrifice to say, this thing I know, this God I love, the one who says he loves me, is worth everything, is worth losing everything. And you face that as a real consequence of your faith. And your family had to make a decision then about whether to continue in the ministry that they were called to there in Turkey or to go somewhere else. So what did your family do?
They, after a lot of thinking, they decided to stay. And I know it was a hard decision for them because they were also thinking about me and what my future would look like. But they knew that if they decide to leave, that would just be a really bad example for the Turkish fellowship in our church. And they wanted to be a good example showing that, yes, following Jesus might end up in death, but that's such a privilege and that shouldn't cause you to escape and choose the easier life.
Could you, as a child, accept the fact that your parents were willing to pledge their allegiance to Jesus enough to die and to leave you behind?
At that point, I couldn't, and I really wanted to go back to Germany. Yeah. And for me, after a year, my cousins and my aunt, they moved to Colorado in the U.S. Because there was an opportunity to work there among Arabic students, and my aunt decided to do that. But then for me, staying in Turkey, I just wanted to leave.
Well, that brings you to the next stage of your life when you're growing up to be a young woman. You are now 20 and studying here at Calvin College. So somewhere along the way, you decided it was time to step out and learn what God had for you in a new country beyond the two you already knew. So how did that come about?
After that, when I really wanted to leave Turkey, my parents thought about Black Forest Academy, a boarding school in Germany for missionary kids. And I was really excited about the idea, just being with children who kind of knew what I went through, who had the same type of experiences. So I went to BFA, Black Forest Academy, for the last 2 years of high school. And that was my way of getting out of Turkey and being in Germany, but being in a community, a really diverse community with people who had the same type of experiences. And then after that, I actually went to the Netherlands and studied in the Netherlands for a year, which was also a really great experience.
Were you able to make the shift from German to Dutch?
I wish I had learned Dutch, but all the Dutch people there know German and English. So my studies was in English, and I didn't really need to learn Dutch. And then after a year in the Netherlands, I transferred to Calvin College, which I'm really happy I did. And that was, again, a big transition, and it was nothing like where I grew up or went to school. But I'm really glad I came here to Calvin College.
I won't dwell too long on this next couple of questions, but people are usually curious about these things. You come out of the situation where you're already multicultural. You understand Turkey very well. You understand Germany. You've been through what every American modern missionary dreads. You face genuine and persistent persecution that costs the lives of people you loved. And now you're back into the quote-unquote promised land of America, the land of opportunity. Mm-hmm. What about America surprised you? And what things were you expecting that didn't happen? And what things happened that you did not expect to happen?
Growing up in Turkey, going to school in Germany, studying in the States was always kind of my dream. Mm-hmm. And especially I wanted to be in a liberal Christian arts college because I knew of the close community I would live in. Mm-hmm. And I didn't experience that in the Netherlands. So that was one of the main reasons why I did transfer to the States. And I would say here at Calvin, I definitely got to be a part of that close community, which I'm really thankful about. But then the States as a whole, there are a lot of differences.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of things I do miss about back home. Mm-hmm. Just maybe like the streets, the shops, you know, just like that lively culture. Yeah. But overall, I'm really happy I'm here.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
A survey a while back revealed that the average household in America has 4.4 Bibles in it, with some homes containing 6, 7, 8, or even more copies of God's Word. And that's wonderful. But did you know that there are places in the world where people have never even seen a Bible? That means they are literally starving for the essential life-giving power of the Scriptures. As you may also know, we've done many successful Bible projects over the years at Compassion Radio. This has helped to place over 500,000 of them with believers, pastors, and evangelists. We are so excited to tell you about our Compassion Radio Bibles Project. For the first time ever, Compassion Radio and this campaign are being underwritten so that every single dollar raised for Bibles goes to that project. Think about that. It's the biggest matching gift challenge we've ever offered at Compassion Radio, and there is no limit to this offer. The more you give, the more goes to the field and the front lines of gospel outreach. So please, pray big with us about this, and then act exactly as the Lord shows you. Make this challenge known to your family and friends. Talk to your pastor, your Sunday school class, small group, or home fellowship. Bring it to your benevolence or missions committee. Pray about where the Lord might have you share this unique opportunity. Let's saturate the world with God's Word like never before. If you'd like to help place a Bible or a Gospel of John into the hands of someone who has never seen the Word of God before and wants it in the countries of India, Nepal, and China, please contact us right now. The number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also give at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word Bibles to 53445. That's Bibles to 53445. And you can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Just be sure to put Bibles Project in the memo on your check. Thank you so very much for anything you can do to help us in our efforts to get the Word of God out to those who need it and want it the most. God bless.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I want to talk about how God's been using your experience and your knowledge as a result of your travels and your education. You are proficient in two languages that you learned from birth and within your family. Your family probably spoke both German and Turkish at home, and you also learned it on the streets of both countries, and then you adopted English and grew in that. And you discover that in America, you probably learned that there's a huge amount of publishing within the Christian community, and many of the people that we revere within our modern Christian context are writers that were actually foreigners to us. For example, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he informs our current condition in America very concisely, and he's removed from us by a couple generations, but he also was a native German and spent time in New York, but he wrote his most important and powerful works while he was suffering under the persecutions of the Nazi regime. And you had an opportunity to actually bring his words to the Turkish community in Turkey now that had never heard him speak about what community in Christ is about. And you had that opportunity to translate some of his work. So tell me about that project.
Mm-hmm. It all started in the summer of 2017 when a Christian Turkish publishing house contacted my dad. And they said that they had realized that none of the works of Dietrich Bonhoeffer were translated into Turkish. And they just thought that it would be really beneficial for the Christian Turkish community in Turkey. And then they were asking my dad if they knew about someone who could possibly translate his books from German into Turkish. And my dad thought of me, and then he asked me. And at that point, I had not done anything like that. So I didn't know if I could do it. But I said that I would try. And I was really excited about it because Dietrich Bonhoeffer is one of my favorite authors.
And had you read him originally in German, or did you discover him in English first?
I had read it in German first.
And you are probably the best positioned person, not just to understand the language translating between German and Turkish directly, but you understood the culture of being in Christ in a country that is against evangelical, committed, faithful discipleship. Mm-hmm. So you get him and you understand what he's saying. So what did you do and what did they ask you to do first?
They asked me to translate Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer first. So that was my first book. And they just asked me to read it first and then start translating. So I read it again in German. And this time it was just a way more conscious way of reading, knowing that I would have to translate it into Turkish. And translating it into Turkish, I think it just gave me the opportunity to understand his words way better and a way better dimension than I had before.
And you'd lived this yourself, and you're looking back now in your own family experience saying, this is me. He's writing about my experience. So what was it about Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that moved you the most as you were going through the process of moving it into your own heart language in Turkey?
Mm-hmm. I think what was most important, especially for the Turkish Christians, is the way he describes a Christian community as a privilege and not as a normal thing we should take for granted, which I think happens a lot in Western societies. But for the Turkish people, they know that this is not the normal thing. This is not the common thing for them, having other believers they can talk to. They can get together once a week. That is something really valuable for them. So reading it from another Western author who understands their viewpoint, I think that was really impactful.
Well, has that edition, the Turkish edition of Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, has it been released now in Turkey?
It's going to get released this month.
This month?
Yeah.
Marvelous. So you have high hopes then that it'll be an encouragement to the Turkish believers. How far is that reach? How many Christians are there in Turkey that might have access to the book?
The publishing house that is going to publish this is one of the main or maybe even the only Christian Turkish publishing house. So once they release it, they're going to make sure that every church has access to this book and that the members of the church get to read this book as well.
Now, the Turkish church will benefit greatly from his words. I'm sure of that because Dietrich Bonhoeffer is still impacting modern Christianity all over the world. And you have an important and pivotal role now for your country. God put you in a place where your work will now benefit the entire body of Christ in Turkey and the future of Christianity in that part of the world. And that's a marvelous privilege for you. And of course, you won't get much of the credit because it's his words that are going to them. And I know you, what I've seen of you so far, you don't care. The credit is no big deal to you. Mm-hmm. Just to be useful to God, where he puts you is the important part. Mm-hmm. And so I want to celebrate that too. This is a story, friends, about somebody that God used through horrible circumstances to be available and ready for something that he wanted done. God wants the church in Turkey encouraged and uplifted and empowered. And that's beginning this month. So as you're hearing this program, just be praying for the ears and the hearts and minds of Turkish believers that are going to read Dietrich Bonhoeffer's words for the very first time, thanks to the faithful work of Deborah and her family being involved with this. I'd like to ask you where it goes from here. If they are successful and they get the book to as many as possible and thousands of people, maybe hundreds of thousands, will now be encouraged, will they come back to you for more projects? Have they talked to you at all about other translating?
I have already translated a second book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer this past summer because they are planning to publish these two books together, actually. And the second book is Psalms, the Prayer Book of Bible by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which is way shorter, but it's really impactful. And it's kind of a continuation of Life Together, because Bonhoeffer mentions the importance of Psalms in Life Together. And then the second book kind of dives deeper in how to read the Psalms.
Which is kind of like an ancient future liturgy.
Yeah.
Getting back to the heart of what David would have done with his own worship.
Yes, yeah.
Very cool. And what did you find in translating David's word through the German back to the Turkish? Was there something special about the way the poetry worked for you as you were translating it?
Translating poetry was definitely way harder. And I realized I had to kind of put more of myself into that.
Very good.
Was hard to find the balance to still have the same message, but make sure that the Turkish people are going to understand it.
That there's a different dance step. The cadence of things is different in your language. And being able to create the lift, the kind of praise and adoration that David had, even in his lament, he was able to soar with his lines and with his music. So, Deborah, there's one more thing I'd like to ask before we adjourn today, and that is about what's been in the news recently. We have an American pastor that was just released from custody, and it's all political. It's obvious that he was not exonerated, but the government's worked out some kind of deal. And that man's name was Andrew Brunson.
Andrew and Noreen are really close family friends of ours, and they have been living in Izmir for years, which is really close to where my parents live now. Just 50 minutes away from Kushadasa.
And how many years do they know each other in ministry?
Church leaders in Turkey, they are really connected to each other because of their work. So I would say they have known each other since my parents came to Turkey, which is 17 years ago.
Wow. That's a long time together in ministry and life. So you know them, you love them, and you've been watching, I think, this whole episode politically as dangerous. I mean, he could have been put in prison for years and years. So I know your prayers were deeply relieved and answered just recently when he was brought back to the States. But it still feels like a defeat in some ways because the ministry had to be stopped where he was. What is your prayer now for them? And how should we be praying as a Christian body here in the States for what happened there with the Brunson family?
I'm really happy that they got to go back home after those stressful 2 years, and that they're finally with their children here in the States. And I'm just praying that Andrew and Noreen, that they get to recover as a family, and that God helps them to decide what their next steps are going to look like and what they're going to do in the future.
Thank you very much for sharing your story with us on Compassion Radio.
Thank you so much for having me here.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.